From Hollywood, California, we present Gene Herschel in a new Dr. Christian drama called Riders on the Storm. Presented for your pleasure by the Cheeseboro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline, and producers of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly, Vaseline Hair Tonic, and other famous Vaseline specialties. For our first feature tonight, we present a fan, a man who likes our Dr. Christian program and the products it represents, and finds use for both on his farm. He says,
I'm a farmer. I do all the tough work on my 100 acres of tillable land. Work outdoors the whole year round. Ever so often, I used to get big cracks on my knuckles. Well, sir, I was likely to go crazy with the pain these hands had given me, until the wife made me try spreading Vaseline jelly on them every day. Just look at my hands now. Those cracks have plumb disappeared, and chapping and soreness don't trouble me for long. I'm mighty grateful to Vaseline jelly. Use it dozens of different ways, and haven't had cause for complaint yet.
Anyone who works with his hands, even as a hobby, is apt to find they get dried out, cracked, and painful. So take a tip from a farmer and try rubbing Vaseline jelly well on the hands every day or so. And women who do their own washing, or even just the dishes, will find that Vaseline jelly takes the hurt and roughness out of tender hands, replaces the natural skin oil. Be sure to keep plenty of Vaseline jelly handy. It relieves so many everyday skin injuries and irritations, yet it costs only 10 cents a jar. Ask your druggist, too, about the famous Vaseline specialties. Vaseline carbolated jelly, Vaseline borated jelly, Vaseline camphor ice, and Vaseline lip ice. And remember to look for the trademark Vaseline when you buy. That trademark is your guarantee of absolute purity. There's the curtain music, and our play is about to begin. The title of the play is Riders on the Storm. The star is Gene Herschel as the popular Dr. Christian. The supporting cast includes Elliot Lewis as Jim Waters, a young aviator, Ann Morrison as Nancy, his young wife, John Mather as Bangs, director of the River's End Airport, Noreen Gamil as Mrs. Meggs, wife of the caretaker on Rocky Island, and of course, charming Rosemary DeCamp as Judy Price, the doctor's secretary. The opening scene shows Jim Waters' living room, where his wife, Nancy, is talking to Dr. Christian.
Oh, what a charming face you made out of this little house, Mrs. Waters. This room is so pleasant, so cheerful.
I tried to make it gay. I thought it would help Jim to have everything around him as cheerful as possible.
It helps everybody. Well, where's my patient?
He's in there, in his room.
What do his symptoms seem to be? Influenza? There's a lot of it around.
He has a little cold, but...
But you think there's something more?
There's lots more. I don't know whether it's the sort of thing a doctor can do anything about. It's his mind that's sick, Dr. Christian.
Well, your husband appears to be a strong, healthy young man, from what I've seen of him. Not the neurotic type at all. Suppose you tell me what's worrying him.
He thinks he killed a man. Some people think it was Jim's fault. Some don't. But they might just as well have sentenced and executed him as to do what they did.
What was that?
They grounded him.
Grounded him?
Yes. My husband's an aviator, Dr. Christian. One of the best test pilots in the country. Jim was born just a fly. He knows everything about designing planes and experimenting to find out how to improve them. The premier plane company always said he was their best man.
Well, then why did he leave them?
Well, Dr. Christian, maybe I shouldn't be telling you this. Jim came out here to forget. But he's not forgetting. He doesn't eat, doesn't sleep.
If I'm to be his doctor and something is affecting him as seriously as that, I'm sure you should tell me, Mrs. Waters.
Well, it happened last spring. There's been bad flying weather, and they were way behind schedule. One day, when Jim was ready to take off, one of the mechanics...
Yes?
Well, he didn't get out of the way in time. The propeller hit him and he was killed.
Oh. That was a terrible experience.
He nearly went crazy. He felt so bad. He took all the blame. He gave the man's mother just about everything we had to add to the insurance, but that didn't bring him back.
No wonder he's sick. Well, we'll have to change his point of view, make him see that old dad is behind him, that he must forget it.
Dr. Christian, do you suppose you can help him?
I'll try. Will you find out whether he's ready to see me now?
He's lying down. He didn't sleep at all last night. I'll tell him you're here. Jim. Jim, darling. The doctor's here, Dr. Clifton. Jim. Jim. Dr. Clifton. Dr. Clifton, come here quick.
What is it?
Dr. Clifton, look.
What's that bottle in his hand?
It's poison. The label says so.
Here. It's poison. He just couldn't stand it any longer. Oh, the poor young fool.
Christian.
Hello, Banks. How's the aviation business this morning?
It's okay.
Have you seen anything of Jim Waters in the field?
Have I seen him? Listen, Doc, I just tested that new plane of his, and it's a honey. Oh, I wish you'd been here to watch it.
I wish I had, but I got tied up. Emergency operation. How did it go?
Perfect. I tell you, Doc, it's like riding a bicycle. You can take off and light on a postage stamp. I never saw anything like it. That kid's a genius. Look, Doc, I hope you won't think I'm poking my nose into somebody else's business asking this, but, how's it come Waters don't fly his plane himself? With all he knows, he could get a pilot's license.
Oh, he's an inventor, not a pilot.
I know, but his own plane. If it was mine, I wouldn't let anyone else touch it.
Enough for Jim that he designed it.
Oh, he's sure been hard at it day and night in that workshop of his ever since he got over being sick. I guess he feels he owes a lot to you, Dr. Piston, pulling him through that season when he first came here. Pneumonia, wasn't it?
I'm going over to have a look at the plane, Banks.
You'll find Jim in the cockpit fussing with things. He's like a mother with a brand new baby. Oh, the missus is over there, too.
Nancy? Good. See you later, Banks.
Well, so long, Doc. Anytime you want to fly in that little crate, I'll be glad to take you out.
Jim! Jim!
Hello!
I had to come out and take a look at your plane. Oh, she's a beauty.
Oh, it's Dr. Piston, Jim. Oh, I wish you could have seen the flight, Dr. Piston. It's perfect. It's just like a little bird. Spreads its wings and goes right up and then comes down and stops right there.
Well, that sounds very nice.
You almost expect it to land on the branch of a tree and start singing.
Well, you'll forgive Nancy, won't you? She's a little rattled by all this.
I understand her excitement. Then the trial flight was a success.
Perfect. Banks handled the ship beautifully. Oh, she's a great little plane, Doc. Gosh, how I want to get my hands on that stick.
Oh, Jim.
Listen, young fellow. You told me if you could just spend your life working with planes, you'd be happy.
I know, it's only that...
Now that this little plane is finished, Jim is going to start right to work on a model for a new type of transport that can practically land on a 50-foot lot.
Somebody might be listening.
So let them listen. Oh, you've got so many ideas, you can let them steal a few of them. You still have loads to spare, but... Oh, I left my bag in the cockpit. Wait till I get it. I'll be right back.
All right, Jim. I'm not very good at pretty speeches, Dr. Christian. I guess you know how I feel about you right now.
Oh, forget it, Jim.
I've got a grip on myself at last, then. I'll go ahead now, design my plane, try to play the game as it ought to be played.
I know you will. One of these days, you can apply for reinstatement.
I'll never fly again, Dr. Christian. I haven't the right.
Jim, if you just try to see things in the proper perspective, you'd realize there's really nothing for you to brood over.
Nothing to brood over? Dr. Christian, you don't believe... Because you made me stop acting like a completely yellow dog and go to work. And I think the situation's changed, Anderson.
Well, I hope I have made you see it differently.
You've made me see things have to be faced, not run away from. Nothing I can ever do will bring a man back to life. Nothing will ever make me any better than a murderer.
Heaven, you've come. I've been trying all over town to reach you.
I wonder what it's the only two of.
What a day. Worst business we've had in years.
Yes. Dr. Christian, listen. Phil Bartlett calls you from Rocky Island.
Phil Bartlett?
Yes. And needs you right away.
But the baby isn't due until April. He's bringing her into the hospital.
Oh, she fell. There's ice on the steps back of the lodge.
Oh.
Hospital? How soon does he expect to get us to the hospital?
They can't get to the hospital, Dr. Christian. They can't get across the ice from the lodge to the mainland.
Can't get to the hospital?
No.
You mean he's up there at the lodge, all alone, with Hayes?
Yes, we've got to get somebody on the island to go over and help take care of it.
Well, there isn't anybody on the island, but a couple of caretakers and a wife.
Oh, no.
Call the ferry station at North
Coast. I did. They said the ice is piled 12 feet high in the channel. There's simply no way to cross.
Oh, a sled, an ice
cutter. They said absolutely no. I tried everything. You can't go by boat, you can't go by car, you can't go by sled, and you can't walk. Dr. Christian, call up Hale and...
You can call Hale after I get started.
How can you start?
If I can't get there any other way, I can fly.
Oh, but...
Get me the airport operator. Hello? Hello? Hello, airport? Banks? This is Dr. Christian speaking. Banks, I've got to get over to Rocky Island right away. I want a plane to climb me over. Oh, there is no other way. Banks, listen. This is an emergency. I see. I see. Goodbye.
But it was impossible, didn't it?
He said no pilot in his right mind would think of flying weather like this. He'd have to fly blind and ice would form on the wings. And with no place to land.
Oh, I told you so.
There's that stretch of beach. You could land a plane there, perhaps. You have some lights to mark a runway.
But you haven't got a plane.
No, that's right. I haven't got a plane nor a pilot. But I have.
Hmm?
I have. Why didn't I think of that before? I should have known there would be some way.
What is it, Doctor?
Judy, did it ever occur to you that very frequently God moves in a mysterious way? He plants his footsteps on the sea and rides upon the storm.
But what?
Get my bag.
What?
And you better give me an extra sweater. As soon as I leave, call Hayes Bartlett and tell him to take all the lanterns he's got down to the beach and to watch for.
Yes, but what in the fly?
Tell him to have plenty of boiling water and not to let Anne get frightened. I'll be there in an hour.
All right.
Oh, hurry up, Judy. Hurry up. I'm leaving immediately. Operator. Operator. Hurry, please. This is an emergency. Will you get me to him water's house?
I think I'll come down a little now. We're getting close.
Can you see anything?
Nope.
How are you going to locate the landing place?
Dead reckoning. We're beginning to lose altitude.
How long has it been?
More than an hour.
Storm seems to get worse all the time, doesn't it?
Yeah. I wish it had stopped snowing. 14 inches when we started, that's enough.
Certainly a freak for this time of year. Oh, that was a bad one. I'm glad I'm a good sailor.
Well, you need to be up in one of these little fellows on a night like this.
Do you mind it?
Mind? I don't mind anything with my hand on the stick again.
What's that? What's the matter?
Ice. It chokes the carburetor.
Is that dangerous?
Well, I'd hate to have to make a forced landing along here right now.
You mean it is dangerous?
Ice on the wings and in the carburetor isn't exactly an accident policy.
You are a very brave boy, Jim.
This isn't one bit more dangerous for me than it is for you, Doc.
Oh, that's different. I'm a doctor. This is my duty. But you only came to help me.
What if I said no?
Oh, somehow I knew you wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't. But it isn't because I'm brave or anything, Doc, that I came. It's... Well, I feel like I owe my life to society, to the world, in return for the one I destroyed. My life isn't my own, really.
Haven't I made you see how wrong that is?
No. True, and I know it.
Then, if you saved a life that otherwise would have been lost, would you feel you'd paid your debt, that you were even with the world again?
I never thought of that. I suppose in a way I would be, wouldn't I?
Jim, why do you suppose I asked you to fly me up here tonight?
To save Mrs. Bartlett, of course.
But if you'd been just an ordinary individual, do you think I would have let you take this risk? One of the pilots at the airport, yes. It's their duty. Just as it is mine, but anyone else?
Well, then why did you ask me?
Because if you do make it, Jim, you'll be square with the world again.
You mean that...
I mean you're giving a life for a life. You took one life away accidentally. You're wishing you own to save another one.
Doc, you think whoever keeps books on these things would believe that was a fair exchange?
I believe he gave you this opportunity. And I believe he would consider the account closed, Jim. What's that?
Ice on the wing.
We're going down, aren't we?
Yeah.
Falling?
He responds a little.
He can't come down yet.
Near as I can figure, we're almost there. If they have any flares, there's a chance I can land it.
What can I do?
Watch for the light. Oh, if they've only marked a runway.
I can't see a glimmer of anything. Just blackness. But the snow seems to be stopping.
Well, there's the carburetor again.
That?
Sounds pretty definite this time. That is definite. Well, Doc, you're a grand guy and it's swell to have known you.
Jim! Look!
Where?
There! There! That's to the right!
Holy mackerel, lights, a row of them. That must be the island.
They marked out the runway on the beach. Just like I told them to.
Well, there goes the engine.
Jim, does that mean we haven't got a chance after all?
Doc, we've got one chance in a million.
It's got to be enough. There's a woman down there waiting for us. Jim, a woman whose life is at stake. You've got to land her safely.
Okay, Doc, hold fast. I'll try to glide in. Watch it, Doc. They're coming down. We're coming down.
You're Mrs. Meggs, the caretaker's wife, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Tell me, how is she?
Well, it's hard to say, Mr. Waters. She's having a lot of trouble. Poor girl. Dr. Kristen got here just in time.
But did he get here in time? That's what I want to know.
Well, if anybody can save her, Dr. Kristen will. Half the folks in River Bend owe their lives to him. I guess he brought most of the youngsters there into the world.
Doesn't matter how many other people he saved, if he can't save her.
Relative of yours, is she?
No. No, I never heard of her until a few hours ago.
Then, what are you so upset about?
Because if he saves her, I helped do it. I saved her, too. It'll be a sort of a sign.
Well, I guess from what the men said, you've done your part. Whatever happens to Ann Bartlett...
Well, I didn't accomplish anything unless you... Well, you wouldn't understand. How soon will we know?
I couldn't say. Yes, I'd better go back now. Dr. Christian may need me. Oh, what's the matter with your hand?
Hmm? My hand? Oh, I twisted my wrist or something when we landed.
Well, can I tie it up for you?
No, no, thanks. Dr. Christian will fix it up when he comes out.
Well, if there's any news, I'll come and tell you.
What if she dies after all? What if doing this wasn't good enough? What if there's nothing in the world can do? Nothing. It makes up for killing her. I said, if she lived, I'd know it was a sign. Then I'd accept it. Thank God. So many times. Please don't let Ann Bartlett die.
Well, Jim, what in the world? Anybody would think you were the angel's father.
Dr. Chris, how is she?
She's all right, Jim. She's going to live.
Oh, God.
I don't like to come back near to losing a patient. This has been much later, but we weren't. So Ann Bartlett is safe and the happy mother of a baby boy.
A baby boy?
Yes. Say, what's the matter with your hand?
Oh, I guess it smashed a little. I sort of hit it when we landed.
And you had a bump?
Nothing serious. What about you?
Well, just a few bruises. And, well, I'll feel better when I get some sleep. I'm going to put a bandage on this, Jim. An x-ray when we get back.
Hurt, doesn't it?
A little.
That That's a swell bandage. Makes me look like quite a hero.
You're proving up at that without the bandage.
Oh, please, Doc.
That's all right. It'll help you when you reapply for your license.
For my license? Doc, you mean... You think I'm a fly again?
You'll probably get a medal for the night's work. It ought to be enough to reinstate you.
But do you think I've got the right?
Here's the baby, Dr. Christian.
Baby? Can I see him, Dr. Christian?
Of course. He's in the top. He's going to grow into a pretty fine youngster. And he's got you to thank for it, Jim.
Me? I forgot all about him, Dr. Christian. I was only thinking about his mother, not saving her.
Well, then you've got an extra something to your credit. Old square with the world and a dividend besides.
And the descending curtain brings to the end another Dr. Christian story. Gene Hersholt, our star, wants to tell you about next week's play. And so while we wait for him, let me ask you this question. Are you troubled with dry, unruly hair? The unsightly dandruff scales shed on your coat collar? These are the unmistakable indications of dry scalp. And the sure treatment for dry scalp is Vaseline Hair Tonic. Vaseline Hair Tonic is different. It contains no ingredients which could possibly dry the scalp. Instead, it supplements the natural oils of the scalp, necessary oils that are lost through frequent showers, steam-heated rooms, and direct sunlight. If you have a tendency toward dry scalp, try this simple treatment. Rub Vaseline Hair Tonic briskly on the scalp with the fingers before you shampoo your hair. Then use a few drops as a daily hair dressing. You'll find your hair softer, healthier looking, free from loose dandruff, and easy to keep in place. You'll be pleased at the economy of Vaseline Hair Tonic, too. It costs only 40 and 70 cents for generous shaker top bottles at your neighborhood drugstore. Get a bottle tomorrow. And now, here's Dr. Christian. Dr. Christian, tell us something about next week's play.
Well, next week's story is called Unfinished Business. It's the story of Ben Stack. He's the most methodical man in River's End. Ben gets up at the identical hour every morning, takes the same number of minutes to eat his breakfast, leaves the house for work at the identical moment each day, and in fact lives on a schedule that never varies. On a schedule that never varies, that is, until his wife, Maddie, cut up his favorite trade journal to make a dress pattern. Ben left the cap off the toothpaste. Right there is where the excitement begins. But we'll tell you the whole story in detail in next week's program. So until next Wednesday evening, I'll say good night.
Next week, the time for this broadcast will be changed in many cities. In the Mountain States, Dr. Christian will be heard at 8:30. In the Central States, the time will be 7:30 for Chicago and Atlanta and 9:30 for other points. In the Eastern States, 7:30 and 8:30 p.m. Be sure to check your local newspaper for the new time in your area. The Courageous Dr. Christian is a new RKO picture based on this radio series and stars Gene Hersholt in the title role. Be sure to watch for the release date at your local theater. This is Arthur Gilmore bidding you good night. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.